Hi, I'm Lisette Jacobson, host of the Black, Brown, and Bilingue podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the EduGals podcast. We are your co-hosts, Rachel Johnson
and Katie Atwell. We are here to bring you tips and tricks to help you integrate technology into your classroom.
In this episode, we are talking all about leadership opportunities, both formal and informal.
Let's get started.
This week, Katie and I are pretty excited to talk about a topic that I think is pretty near and dear to our hearts, and that is leadership in schools.
Yes. And so it's not just those formal leadership roles, but we also want to share a little bit more about informal leadership and how you can kind of hone those skills and get more involved in your school community. This has come up a lot. You know, we're talking school goals and stuff at a school level, and we talk about informal leadership, but there's no real guide or no real, like, this is how you do it. And every school looks so different. So I think it's a helpful topic.
Yeah, for sure. It can be actually kind of overwhelming, I think, when you're first sort of starting out to even find those opportunities for informal leadership. And really, there are tons of them around. So yeah, it's definitely a worthwhile topic to talk about and talk about how we can get started and what some of those opportunities could be within your school.
Yeah. So how shall we dive into this wonderful topic?
I guess why don't we just start by kind of talking about some of the formal leadership first, because those are probably a little bit more apparent, and then we'll spend the majority of our time talking about informal leadership.
Perfect. So to start off, I think it's the obvious. You have your department heads, and that is typically where you're going to end up, or a lot of people want to end up. And so, yeah, you're responsible for one or two departments, budgets, leading the people, that sort of stuff, and sectioning, staffing, all that wonderful, wonderful logistic side of things.
I have to say, like, I never really had, I don't know, I didn't really have strong aspirations to go into a leadership role, which is kind of weird now because I've been in one for many, many years. And I remember when I first got offered the headship, I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're giving this to me. Like, who am I to, you know, be a leader within my department? But I have to say, it's one of the positions that I've grown so much as an educator, as a leader. And it's really helped, I think, maybe sort of squash some of that imposter syndrome too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same. To be completely honest, I got a headship at a different school than I was based at. And so, you know, I took the interview thinking this probably isn't going to happen because they don't typically hire outside of a school. So I wasn't expecting it. And it was a shock because I wasn't really sure if leaving my school was going to be what I did. But it's been good. It's been great, actually. It's really helped me to push me out of my comfort zone a lot. And there's been a lot of really good learning for myself and for myself as a leader, and even, you know, how to work with brand new people that don't know you and don't know if you're good or bad at your job. And so there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of relationship building, really. But it's been a really good journey, and I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm doing it.
Yeah. So I guess besides being a department head, like especially elementary schools, you don't have those sort of headship roles like we do in secondary schools. But there are things you could even get into at the board level. At least in our school board, or in a lot of school boards, there are instructional coaching type positions. So I know in elementary, in our school board, we have learning resource teachers who go and work in different elementary schools and work with different teachers for certain periods of time. We have innovation coaches, which is what I did for a couple of years, which was great learning. And really sort of a different sort of leadership role. And then we also have instructional program leads in our school board, which take care of program areas at the board level. So there's also ways to get involved with formal leadership that are more outside of the classroom as well.
Yeah. And it's also, so ESL teachers in elementary, I know are more, they're not really classroom based. They do more of a push and pull system. And then student success, and then also special education. So those are opportunities if those interests, or if those kind of line up with your interests and where you want to be teaching and what you want to be doing, where you can get more involved on a school level for some leadership opportunities.
And I would say that if you want to be in formal leadership, you have to get involved with some of those departments.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter which of those you pick, but you really need that exposure to more diverse populations within the school than just your classroom. So, you know, if ESL is your thing, then maybe that's the path you want to go down. Or if you like working with our exceptional learners, then maybe special education is the area you want to go into. If you want to really work with those students who struggle with traditional schooling models, then maybe student success is where you want to be. But I think you really need to dabble in at least one of those areas, because having that knowledge and working with learners that are outside of the realm of what you would normally see in your classroom is going to be like hugely beneficial for developing your leadership skills.
Yeah. And service side, which is what we typically refer to these areas as, service side is very different. And you kind of get to see a different side of education outside of the typical classroom experience. And so it's definitely worth, even if you're not thinking leadership, it's still worth working alongside some of these people and getting that exposure and better understanding all of the different moving parts in a school.
Yeah, you really learn some of those skills on like how to advocate for students, mm-hmm. and being able to advocate for students and, you know, working with those conversations that happen behind the scenes is like, there's just so much you can learn from that. I think getting into guidance is another way as well, like that service side. Now, that is very difficult to get into because, you know, the number of guidance counselors within a school is very small compared to the rest of the teaching positions. But if it's something you can get into or get your feet wet with, then that's also kind of another avenue you could go down.
Agreed. And so then, you know, once we remove the service side and these other positions, what's left? And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot left. There are lots of opportunities. You just kind of have to figure out who you are and where you fit, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And there are so many opportunities, and you don't have to be in a formal leadership position to be a leader within your school community. I mean, you think about it, you're a leader in your classroom. You lead your class every day.
So I'm going to kind of give an example of something that I think really boosted my confidence and my leadership skills. And it has to do with Rachel. What?
Hey.
I think so. Blended learning team and our IT team at our school, I think those were two things where I became really confident with my skills and I pushed myself to learn new things. And then once I was learning new things, I was like, I need to share this with other people. And so then we put ourselves out there more and we were sharing these new skills with other teachers in the building. That's informal leadership. The fact that you're willing to put yourself out there and teach teachers new things, I think it was really good for my confidence as an educator and for building skills, because I used to be so scared to present in front of teachers and colleagues. So that's, I think, an example of making something small into something that's going to benefit you and build some of these skills.
Yeah, that blended learning team for me as well was kind of my jumping off point into leadership as well. And that's really where I found my passion for running professional development. I didn't even know I could. And like you said, when I first sort of started, I was so nervous. And it's really kind of very different to present to your peers, mm-hmm. rather than presenting to your students.
Yeah.
It's quite a different feel, I guess. And maybe this kind of goes back to like that imposter syndrome feeling, right? Where you're like, well, who am I to be talking about this in front of people? Like, I'm no expert.
Yeah.
But if you have something to share and you've learned something that can be shared with others and maybe they don't know it, then you are more of an expert than the people you were presenting to, if that makes any kind of sense. So, yeah, I think any of those opportunities where you can find a passion within your school. If there's a committee you can join, then you join that committee. And if there isn't, then maybe you start it, right? And get the experience with talking with others who share the passion. because, you know, as naturally as teachers, we're all going to then want to teach others those skills at some point.
Yeah. And there's lots of opportunities, lots of different committees to join and lots of groups out there. So it's just finding your niche, finding what you enjoy most, where you want to get involved, and then going from there.
So finding my love of professional development led me to joining our staff learning team. And I think every school probably has some form or shape of a staff learning team. I would imagine so.
I don't know.
No? Where we're planning professional development? Maybe.
It's new at my school.
Oh, okay.
Because one of the admin was at our old school or my old school. I don't know how prevalent it is across schools, but essentially, like, the learning team is exactly what you said. So it's a bunch of staff coming together and admin included, and it's planning out learning. It's planning out the professional development in the building for the year.
So I've been doing that for years, and this year I took on a little bit more of a formal leadership role with that, and I'm leading our staff learning team. That opportunity sort of fell into my lap this year, and I'm like, yes, let's do it. Yeah, so that's been really great as well. But like, don't be afraid to present to your peers. I think I did professional development on ungrading not too long ago at our last PD day. And I kind of went into it thinking, well, like, I'm not an expert in this area still. But, you know, people are treating me like I'm an expert. I'm like, I'm not. I'm still on this journey myself. I don't know what I'm doing necessarily. Yeah. But I can share what I've learned so far in my classroom. And like, that could benefit someone and they might start doing something similar.
Yeah, same. I'm also being tapped on the shoulder for that one. And I'm like, I can do it. But like, my journey is going to look different from every single other teacher here. And I'm in a very niche area. And so... But yeah, no, lots of excitement.
Some other ways I think that you could really get started. Now, it depends again on, I guess, where you are and how your school board sort of structures this. But for new teachers who enter any of our school boards in Ontario, they go into this new teacher induction program. And all of the new teachers do get paired up with a mentor teacher.
Yep.
And so you could take on that mentorship role. You could do that formally through a program like that, or you can just do it informally. If you have new staff coming into your department or your area, you can kind of take them under your wing and answer their questions and provide them opportunities to talk out problems that they're facing in their classroom, like any of those sort of things.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of neat because it gives you a chance. I don't know how you felt as a new teacher, but when I first started in the board, it was extremely overwhelming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you're learning all of like the tech pieces, like what you have to use for MARC reporting. You're learning new systems. And now we're all Google. We weren't before. So it was a little bit different. But it was very overwhelming as a new teacher coming into the school board. And there are no real like training opportunities to get to know everything. And so for me, I felt very alone. And they didn't do NTIP the same way as they do now, I think. I think it's a bit different now. So I was kind of floundering a lot. So I liked being an NTIP mentor because it gave me an opportunity to kind of de-escalate some of those big feelings of being overwhelmed, because I was like, relax, we got this. I got you. You need help? Talk to me. Hate MARC books? So do I. Let's do it together. Like those types of things.
Yeah, I've been an NTIP mentor for many, many teachers. I've got a couple this year.
Nice.
in terms of what I'm doing. And it's a lifeline, I think, for new teachers to have that mentor there. So if you're willing, if you have the capacity to be able to offer yourself out, to just be able to answer questions. I answer questions almost on a daily basis with my new teachers. And I love it because I know that I'm providing that support that they need when they need it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. And with that in mind, I almost think it's worth also mentioning student teachers, because that's a great way as well. And so then you could be helping a new generation of teachers to come on in and strengthen their skills. And it's a neat opportunity.
I love that you brought that up, because that was my next point.
Nice. We're so in sync today.
We are. Yeah. So hosting any of those associate teachers, I've had one this year as well. I usually try and take one on. It depends on the courses I'm teaching, whether I offer myself up, my classroom up for that or not. But Wow. Like you just, it's not even that you're providing that mentorship for that teacher, but you also learn so much from them. And I think with any of these sort of informal leadership opportunities, like it's not just you being a leader, it's what you're learning from that experience as well. You get so many new ideas and you're like, oh, I didn't think about approaching it that way. Like I'm going to take that now for my classroom. Mm-hmm. And so you both grow.
Yes, definitely. Now, there aren't a lot of opportunities in the ESL world for teacher candidates, let's be honest. But no, we've had a couple in our English department, and it's definitely eye-opening, and it's really good for everybody.
Yeah, I have another one joining me later on this school year again. He was in my classroom last semester, and he's coming back. So it's kind of nice that I get to continue with his journey. Like, I've never actually had that before, where I've had the same student teacher back twice in a row, so...
That's kind of fun because it's like, have you learned? Let's find out.
We'll see. You might listen to this podcast. So.
I know. No, but it'd be interesting to see how over time, what's changed? You know, what have you been working on? That's fun.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what sort of progression has and will happen from his first placement.
That's awesome.
Now, you could also do things like being teacher in charge if that sort of opportunity arises. What that is, if you're not sort of familiar with that, is at least in our school board, the opportunities offered out within our schools that when our administrators are out of the building, you can step into their role essentially and be the teacher in charge or the point person for, you know, maybe the morning.
Yeah. With that in mind, you probably do need to have some at least informal leadership in your building because you do need to be seen as a leader and somebody who people would go to. But yeah, if as you are transitioning into more formal leadership, that's definitely an option.
It's definitely a nice sort of way. And I've been using it to get my feet wet in terms of, well, what do our administrators do on a day-to-day basis? And really kind of trying to learn from that perspective. So it's definitely eye-opening in terms of an administrator role. And it's a great way of trying it out and seeing if it's a fit before you decide to go into that sort of formal leadership.
I think another way, which isn't direct, but it still really puts you out there, get involved in professional development. Your board is going to be offering lots of professional development opportunities, or at least ours is this year in particular, or you can even find your own professional development. And I say this because it means that you're building your knowledge, which then can be shared with others. And if you're doing it with your board, your name's on these lists. People know who's doing it. So you might actually be tapped on the shoulder to help share some of that new learning with your department or your colleagues in the building.
Yeah, I keep my eye out for any of those sort of professional development opportunities. You know me, I love learning.
Yep, me too.
So anything that kind of piques my interest, I'll usually sign up for and try it out.
And it doesn't have to be ones that are offered. Like you could look at different AQs or additional qualifications that are being offered. Something that interests you. And like I did my, it's an elementary AQ, but I did my reading part one because that was a journey I was on and I'm still on learning how to do reading instruction. So while it doesn't really benefit me as a secondary teacher, it benefits me as an educator and learning how to teach these things that aren't typical in the secondary classroom.
I quite often every year will take some sort of course.
Yes.
I partly do it because it helps with my tax return, which it does give you a little bit more money back, at least where we are.
That's hilarious.
It's not the only reason I do it, though, but it is one of the reasons why I'm like, okay, like I wouldn't mind taking a course. I haven't taken a course this year. So, you know, where are my interests right now? What am I doing? At the moment, we're kind of in the middle of doing all of our sectioning and staffing right now. And so I'm looking forward to, well, what am I going to teach next year? And then what sort of professional learning might benefit me in that role? So like, if, for example, I continue teaching ESL science, then maybe taking my ESL part two could be really helpful and beneficial.
It is very helpful and beneficial for those listening. I definitely suggest the AQs for teaching English language learners. A little bit biased, but
I know.
And part of me is like, I really want to take reading part two, but I'm in the middle of my master's. And so that's not happening for another few years. But I'm excited for when I can take more courses, even though I'm slotted to take lots of courses. Gotta love being a lifelong learner.
Yeah, you really do learn so much from them, though. And you never know what you're going to learn that you will then be able to give back to your school community.
Yeah, and I think that's the best part of it, because often it kind of sneaks up on you and you're like, wait, this is awesome. I need to make sure more people know this.
And I think that's kind of where this podcast even kind of came about, yeah. Right? Is because we just had so much that we were learning that we wanted to share with others, and we wanted to do it on a much larger kind of platform.
That's exactly where our podcast started. It's kind of fun because we were doing so much PD. We're like, let's get it out.
I think one other way that you could kind of get into some of these informal leadership roles is by taking maybe a project, maybe something you want to implement in your courses, and trying to get a couple of others on board. So whether it's a course team, or it could even be something cross-curricular, and maybe it's a new strategy you want to implement, and then you could like lead the charge. So for example, with our grade 9 science, you know, we're going through and doing mastery-based learning and looking at how to best sort of set up our course for de-streaming. And so that is a leadership opportunity.
Yep, most definitely. And with that in mind, you mentioned something, and I think people don't really think of it too often, but you could be the lead for the course that you're teaching. And so there's typically multiple classes of that course, and you always need one person kind of to lead the charge. So that's informal, but it's a good way to kind of hone some of those skills.
I think that was my first leadership opportunity, actually.
Nice.
Besides the blended learning team.
ESL was a different world because you're tapped on the shoulder so much to deliver PD and to help other teachers, that I think ESL intrinsically has a little more leadership built into it because you have to interact and build those relationships with other teachers.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I think one last one that I can think of anyhow is, you know, deliver PD. Often boards and schools will do a call out, a general call out where you can help plan some of the professional development and deliver it. You don't have to be an expert. And I'm very vulnerable with my staff. I say I'm still on this journey too. I'm not perfect. I'm not an expert, but I'm here to share with you what I know and where I'm going in my teaching practice. And I think that honesty really helps. And I mean, everyone can benefit from each other.
Yeah, for sure. I always look for those opportunities. And really, I feel like I knew I was really ready to start doing that when I started going to these PD days, especially like we have one that we normally do in the spring that's subject specific. So it's all like all the science is all together and all the math is all together, which is really good for our specific curricular areas. But I found that I was ready to start presenting at those when I'm like, okay, I've already been to that, or I already know that. So instead of going and sitting there and not really getting much from it, I knew that it was time to start sharing what I knew.
Oh no, most definitely. How did I get involved? I don't know. I was delivering evening PD to teachers all about English language learners. And that was through my instructional program lead. So there are opportunities. It's just building those connections and relationships with others and putting yourself out there a bit.
Yeah, so I think those are a lot of great opportunities for getting started with some leadership, even if it's not formal. There's so many different ways that you can informally get involved in your school community.
And so, you know, put yourself out there, try something new. I don't know. I think that there's a lot to be learned and a lot that you can actually do within your school community.
So we'll wrap up our conversation here today. And so what we'll do is we'll include any of the links or resources we mentioned today in our show notes. You can access our show notes for this episode at edugals.com/118. That's edugals.com/118.
And if you like what you heard, then feel free to share it with a colleague or a friend. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss out on any future content.
And if you have any other suggestions on how you can informally get involved in leadership in your schools, we'd love to hear them. You could go on to our Flip at edugals.com/flipgrid and leave us a video message there. Or you can go onto our website at edugals.com and leave us a written reply.
Thanks for listening and see you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of our EduGals podcast. Show notes for this episode are available at edugals.com. That's E-D-U-G-A-L-S dot
gals.com. We'd also love to hear your feedback, so leave us a message on our website.
And if you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe and consider leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, keep being awesome and try something new.